You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy hump day, Sacramento Kings fans. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, your hub for Sacramento Kings offseason coverage. We are going to hit NBA free agency hard as that opens up Sunday, July 1st, and also plenty of NBA draft fallout still to come for you as we make our way closer and closer to the California Classic that begins next week in Sacramento. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Welcome into Locked On Kings. I am a host and an on-air personality and a multimedia journalist for Sports 11. 740 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings, where you can listen to the Sacramento Kings play and all of their California Classic games coming up here next week with the G-Man Gary Gerald on the call. That is, if you are in the greater Sacramento area. I hope everybody is enjoying their week so far, and I appreciate everybody who tuned in to Monday's podcast titled Dear Angry Kings Fans. I got a lot of fantastic feedback after that podcast. If you haven't gotten the chance to go back and listen to it, I encourage you to do so, whether you like the Marvin Bagley pick or not. You may be even more fired up or angry after listening to what I had to say. But let me say this before we get into anything for this podcast. I have responded over the past. Now, I've debated a lot and gone back and forth a lot over the past weekend and even before that, from draft day basically all weekend. I responded to a lot of different Sacramento Kings fans. That was blown out of the water by the response I got after Monday's podcast. And that was both positive and negative. And here's what I want to say. Thank you. Thank you to everybody, even the ones, especially the ones that listened to the podcast the entire way through that could not disagree with me more. It means the world to me for you to listen through and to hear my take and to be able to hear what I'm saying, soak it in, think about it, and then still be able to establish your own opinion. Now, some of you are stubborn like I am, and no matter what I could have said, you would never have changed your mind. And that's okay. I love you and I admire your passion. I am so thankful to each and every single one of you who listened and took the time to respond to me. I got phenomenal feedback, hundreds of tweets, at least 10 to 15 emails that were basically novels of people sharing their thoughts, their stories as Kings fans. And again, here is what I want to emphasize that I emphasized at the start of Monday's podcast. I'm never going to tell you how to fan. And if I disagree with you on something, that doesn't make me think any less of you as a Kings fan. Now, I did say this at the beginning of the last podcast that was taken out of context a lot. I said, working at Sports 1140 KHDK, that on a daily basis, we here at the radio station interact with a lot of Kings fans. And a good 50% of them come and bring not smart takes to the table. I presented that in a way that brought a negative connotation, me basically saying it sounded like, and I own it, it sounded like I was saying anybody who disagrees with what I'm going to say in that podcast, anybody that wanted Luka Doncic over Marvin Bagley, or anybody that wants Vlade Divac fired, is a dumb or not smart fan. That was not my intention at all. I brought that up and had that conversation with a number of you on Twitter and over email over the past 24 hours. I hope you sincerely accept my apology if that was the what you got out of that. It was not my intention at all. The point was, we do interact with fans. Believe it or not, I interact with fans on a daily basis. That actually, this is a text that I've gotten today on our text line at KHDK. Why don't the Kings just go out and sign LeBron? That's the kind of take that I'm talking about that we deal with on a daily basis in sports radio and even in this podcast format. So I wanted to put that out there. But again, thank you sincerely, everybody who listened to that podcast, who made it all the way through. And no matter if you agree or disagree with me, it's awesome that you made it all the way through, that you took the time to listen. I sincerely appreciate it. If you still want to share your takes about Marvin Bagley or Vlade's job, or if you want Luka Doncic or not, you absolutely can. That can carry on all summer long for all I care. I'm never going to stop having that conversation with you. It can carry into next season if you want. I will continue to have that conversation with you as long as it's productive and it's fair, kind, and going back and forth. So if you want to get involved, please do. At MattGeorgeKHDK is where you can find me on Twitter, or you can email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And I've been getting a lot of great emails recently from Kings fans and from listeners. That is a great way to get to me, and I try and respond to every single one that I get. This is a platform of conversation. This is a place for us to go back and forth, and I want to be able to make sure you have the ability to go back and forth with me and that your voice gets heard more than just mine here on this Locked On Podcast Network. So what are we doing today? NBA free agency. We're going to hit that hard. We're going to start with my top free agent wish list. We talked about this a little bit before, a couple of weeks ago, but that we were speculating based off of what the Sacramento Kings were going to do in the draft. Now that we know they have taken someone to fill that power forward four spot, we know that the Kings are going to be desperately, hopefully, looking to fill the three spot with a free agency signing. So we're going to break through that. I'm going to share some names that I like, some names that I dislike. Open up for your takes as well. Anything that you like and dislike from my free agency list, or if you want to share your own list, you can, again, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to be predicting, as with the opening up of free agency on Sunday, I'm going to be predicting where I think some of the biggest names will land, just so I can throw it out there so you can all yell at me when I'm wrong and you can tell me I don't know what I'm doing, because that's basically a daily occurrence. So we're going to get all of that right here for you on Locked On Kings. So the Sacramento Kings, by taking Marvin Bagley with the second overall pick in the 2018 NBA draft, they had two pretty major holes: the four spot and especially the three spot. A lot of us, myself included, believe that the Kings were going to fill that three spot by going out and getting either Michael Porter Jr. or Luka Doncic. Ultimately, they did not do that. They took Marvin Bagley, which, by the way, I'm excited to announce that, not that this means anything, but they put out early betting odds for Rookie of the Year. And guess who's favored number one overall? That's Marvin Bagley. It's because of his scoring ability. He's expected to be the best scorer, at least initially, from this rookie class right out of the gate, which I think is very exciting. Again, read into that what you will. It's just exciting to see the Kings having anybody at the top of a betting list that isn't who's going to be the worst team in the NBA. So Marvin Bagley, taken with the second overall pick, is going to be plugged in and fill that four spot. The Kings have an absolute log jam with big men at the four and five spots. I expect some to be moved. I hope it's Zach Randolph, but would not be surprised to see if Willie Cauley-Stein is dished out. And we don't know. The Kings may acquire players that way instead of going through free agency. But let's just assume they do what pretty much everybody else does, and they attack free agency hard. Here is the first thing I'm going to say. We all know the stereotype of the Sacramento Kings and the Sacramento market in free agency. It is not a major market. Newsflash, Sacramento's not LA. It's not New York. It's not Boston. It's not Chicago. The Kings have always struggled to go out and get big name free agents. So I always attach the word realistic. Realistic free agent targets. Let me give you my five, and I'll dive into each one deeper as we go on. My number one target, and we're going to debate this back and forth because there are a lot of people that don't think he's a small forward. There are a lot of people that think he's a power forward, but I'm going to make the argument for it. Jabari Parker. I love Jabari Parker. I understand his injury history, but he fits the mold exactly of what you want if you're a Sacramento Kings fan, and if, in my opinion, what the Sacramento Kings franchise wants. Yes, injury history is there, but Parker, athletic, young, can fill a lot of needs, can also shoot. I love Jabari Parker. He's my number one target overall. Number two is Trevor Ariza. He said he came out and said he wants a lot more money than I think he's worth. Here's the bottom line. The Kings are going to have to pay a lot of money for whoever they want to bring in. So I'm not too worried really about money figures, as long as we're not throwing the word max out there for too many of these guys. Trevor Ariza is definitely not the star, probably not even the third best player on his Houston Rockets team. I would say it's Harden, Paul, and either Capella or Eric Gordon. But Trevor Ariza is a solid defensive small forward who can shoot and who can score, someone that I think could fit in well with the Sacramento Kings roster, also brings in a veteran presence that I think a lot of us would appreciate. Number three on my list, and this one snuck in just recently, Doug McDermott. Not the most sexy of names, certainly not someone who has had as great of a career as expected when he was drafted by Chicago, but Doug McDermott is shooting over 42% from three-point range, and the Kings need three-point shooters. He's 6'8". He can space the floor. I like the idea of potentially Doug McDermott here in Sacramento. Number four, and this is a name we're hearing a lot around the Sacramento Kings, Super Mario Hezonja, a two-way player, can shoot, can play defense, or is considered to be at least a defensive stopper, was very underwhelming in Orlando. And how much do you blame Mario for that, and how much do you blame Orlando for that? We'll dive into that. And finally, and I know he's not necessarily a true small forward, but I loved him on the team. I still love him. He's a great leader, a defensive-minded guy, can still shoot and space the floor. And Garrett Temple, I believe, can guard almost anybody. That's him, Garrett Temple. I just gave away the name. Garrett Temple is my number five. So let's run through all of these. And again, send me your top five wish list for the Sacramento Kings. And again, realistic wish list for the Sacramento Kings. Let's start with Jabari Parker. Parker, I told you, a lot of people think that Jabari Parker is a power forward. And listed on NBA rosters and on NBA.com and on Basketball Reference, he is listed as a power forward. However, I think we're attaching too much to that. Just because he's listed as a power forward doesn't mean that that's what he would play in the Kings offense and the Kings system. And here's the reality. Jabari Parker is only 6'8". He is 250 pounds, which I would like to see him cut weight if he's going to be playing the three. And honestly, cutting weight may help him overall staying healthy. But at 6'8", that's a prime size, really, for the small forward position, not for power forward anymore. Power forward, you have to be a bit taller. I mean, look at Marvin Bagley. He's around 6'10", right? So you're looking at Jabari Parker. Last year, he only played 31 games. And yes, here is the concern. In his career, 25 games his rookie season. He played 76 games in 2015-2016, which was exciting. Then he started going back down again, 51 in 16-17, and then only 31 last year. Yes, the injury concerns are there, and I expect the Kings to do full research to understand really how healthy Jabari is, if they feel confident that Jabari Parker can stay on the floor for at least 50 games. If they think that, I mean, you can't ever really predict that, but if they think he's good to go, he seems to be at full strength, and there's not a high risk of him re-injuring or re-aggravating his past injuries, I do not mind the Kings throwing money at Jabari Parker. He is a scorer touted as potentially one of the top players when he was in his draft class, and even in his limited time, look, he scored he averaged 12 points a game his rookie season in only 25 games. Even last year, averaging 12.6 points per game in the 31 games he's played, he is a career 49% shooter from the field, 35% from three-point range, so not the best there, but a two-way player, somebody that is not that much of a defensive liability. In fact, I think he can hang with almost everybody defensively as long as he can cut some weight and work on his quickness there. I like the idea of Jabari Parker filling that three spot, can space the floor, can run the floor, someone that I believe is athletic, who can work alongside De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Buddy Hield, someone who can start right away, but you can also plug in and have him play limited minutes. You don't need him to play 35 to 40 minutes a night, which is good, reduces the wear and tear on him. And here's also why he's listed as power forward, because currently, or he's been spending his entire career playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, he is a restricted free agent, and I would be surprised if the Bucks tried to go out and bring him back unless they felt very confident that he was going to be healthy for the foreseeable future. But playing alongside Antetokounmpo, we know the Greek Freak has taken over that small forward position, is not going to be giving it up anytime soon. And the Bucks were not too long ago trying to move Jabari Parker or trying to get some value for Jabari Parker in trades. So I would not be too surprised to see them try and move on from him. 23 years old, he'll be close to 24 by the time the season starts. He fits almost every need that the Kings have, and if it wasn't for his injury issues, I don't think there was any chance in hell that the Milwaukee Bucks would be willing to even get rid of him or let him go. So the Kings may have to pay a little bit more for the services of Jabari Parker to get him out of Milwaukee, but if the Kings could land him, he is absolutely the top of my list. Let's go on to number two on my list, and I mentioned out of these five, you can send me your five at any time at Matt George KHDK on Twitter. Number two is Trevor Ariza. I talked about it a little bit, so I don't need to spend too much time, but Trevor Ariza is a guy that is just a solid small forward pick. He is a veteran presence, so he doesn't necessarily completely fit the mold of putting together a young core, but he's not that old either. He is in his 30s. He's going to be 33 by the start of next season, probably looking for his next major contract. Now, he did come out and say that he's looking for $50, $60 million a year. Or not a year, I'm sorry, a $50, $60 million deal. The Kings have always had to spend a lot of money. I struggle to decide. Actually, I'm not going to struggle. I don't think Trevor Ariza is worth that kind of money, but good on him for actually going out and seeking it. If he wants to stay in Houston, which I would think Trevor Ariza would be a fool for leaving the Houston Rockets, but if he does choose to leave Houston, that's a, I guess, a shoot your shot for that kind of money. You're certainly not going to get it if you stay there in Houston. But Trevor Ariza, just a solid veteran presence, averaged 11.7 points per game in 2017-2018, a 41% shooter from the field, 36% from three-point range, 85% free throw shooter, a good two-way player, can play defense, a natural leader, a good communicator, someone that if you want another veteran presence to put on the court that you could maybe sign for a 2-3 year deal that could temporarily fill that three spot, that could help grow these young players, play alongside these young players, but not just be a cog that comes off the bench for maybe a maximum of 20 minutes a game. Trevor Ariza is one of those veterans that could play consistent minutes, has been relatively healthy throughout his entire career, just a strong, solid player that I think could really be a benefactor of this young Kings team, and I'm sure there are a lot of the young Kings players that could benefit from playing alongside him. Doug McDermott is a very interesting player, and Zach Lowe tweeted this out earlier today. He said, quote, "In a quick turnaround, the Mavericks have withdrawn their qualifying offer to Doug McDermott, league sources say. They still have interest in retaining him, because why wouldn't they? But this makes it easier to clear his $10 million cap hold. Also makes him an unrestricted free agent, broadening his market." So that's good news for the Sacramento Kings if they want to go out and get this guy. McDermott is an under-the-radar guy for me. And what really impresses me about McDermott is he made great strides last year, phenomenal strides. And I said it earlier, Doug McDermott is an over 42% three-point shooter. The Kings need shooters and need guys that can space the floor if they want their bigs, especially Marvin Bagley, to be successful down low. We're not sure what De'Aaron Fox's jump shot is, but a guy like Doug McDermott spaces the floor out enough to open up spots for De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason to attack the basket. Also takes a little bit of pressure on the perimeter off of Buddy Hield and even Bogdan Bogdanovic. I like the idea of Doug McDermott in Sacramento, and I don't think you have to pay all that much for him, especially now that he is an unrestricted free agent. It might take a little bit more than some of the other markets to get him to choose to come here to Sacramento. Now, his numbers aren't the sexiest thing. He averaged only 7.8 points last year, but again, 46% free throw or field goal shooter, 42% from three-point range, around an 80% three-point shooter, has had a relatively short career thus far, is still very young, only 26 years old, will be close to 27 by the time the next season starts. 6'8", 225 pounds, a bit of a defensive liability, I will give you that, and there are concerns how much he will give up on the defensive end, but I love the three-point shooting. I love his ability to space the floor. Not the sexiest option or sexiest name to start at the three, and again, is not a guy that needs to play 35 minutes a night, but you could start him, have him play 25 minutes, and then rotate him out. Look, I assume when the Kings are playing down the stretch, especially if it's a close game, the lineup on the floor is going to be some kind of combination of De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Buddy Hield, a big, and Marvin Bagley. So that means the small forward, whoever it may be, is probably going to be in the bench in that spot. Doug McDermott makes a lot of sense for filling that hole, depending upon what rotation Dave Yeager puts together. Solid three-point shooter. Again, a guy that slid under the radar for me. Carrying on, number four, Super Mario Hezonja. I don't need to say much about this guy. Mario Hezonja has always been a blip on Vlade's radar. Vlade has always loved Super Mario. And you look at someone who's probably out of this list is considered to be maybe the best or most consistent two-way player. However, again, his numbers are not the sexiest thing on the planet. Last year, averaged only 9.6 points per game, a 44% shooter from the field, but only 33% from three-point range. Now, he was considered to be a shooter coming out of college, or I should say coming out of Europe, when he came into the league. And in his 3 years in Orlando, he's never shot better than 34 or really 35% from three-point range. That is something that is a little bit concerning, but Mario is someone that I think is going to be very affordable, will not hesitate in choosing to come to Sacramento because of his ties with Vlade and the interest from Vlade. If the Kings are looking to go on a decent budget and not spend too much money, Mario is probably a great target for them to go out and get. Finally, Garrett Temple. Now, he has to decide very soon here, and the decision may come out, honestly, in the next few hours after this podcast goes out. But he has to decide very soon if he wants to stay in Sacramento. I've been going back and forth about this because I think it would be in Garrett's best interest to try and get one more big contract and go and play for a contender. I would not blame him at all for doing so. However, I know that he loves this team in Sacramento. He's close with these guys. He's a leader for these guys. And I would not be surprised at all if some of the young players are still asking him to stick around because they would like his leadership and his production. We forget that Garrett Temple is not a bad option, especially defensively, was easily the best defensive player on the Kings roster last year, and I believe he can continue that despite his age. I'm looking for Garrett Temple to come in at 6'6", 195 pounds, can play the three spot or can at least defend the three. He is 32 years old, but someone who can space the floor, not the most consistent three-point shooter, I'll give you that, shot only around 40%, 39.2% from three-point range last year, averaged only about eight points a game. But Garrett Temple is someone that I would like to see still in a Sacramento Kings uniform, not just for his leadership, but for his defense. Someone that I think could be not just a good leader and continue to help the growth of Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason, but also someone that I think could be a great advice giver and helper for Marvin Bagley. So I'm always going to be high on the Garrett Temple train. If he decides to stay here in Sacramento, I think that would be a win for the Kings. But if he doesn't, and I expect him not to, then the other four on that list are viable options. So tell me what you think about that list. Do you like it? Do you not? Am I very off base? Do you like the idea of Jabari Parker, who again is number one on my list? I see him playing as a small forward at 6'8", 250 pounds. Would like to see him cut weight, but I do believe he can be a small forward. And if the Kings went out and signed him, he would be a small forward for this team going forward. But let me know what you think. And again, send me your list at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email them to me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Finally, there are some big names in free agency this year, some major names, just in case you didn't know, and we will be seeing where these major names end up. So really quickly here towards the end, just to put them out there, to put me on the spot, and you can hold me to it, these are not done with massive amounts of research. These are just my predictions based off of where I think are the best landing destinations, and from the what little I know about these players. Predicting the top free agent landing spots in 2018 free agency. And you can send me your landing spots too of all these top free agents once I get through my list. Number one, the obvious name, LeBron James. Where is LeBron going? Now, it was said that LeBron will have a decision before or by 4th of July. I would personally be surprised if it's that quick, but I think Philadelphia makes a whole lot of sense. LeBron has said that he wants to go somewhere where the ball is not constantly in his hands and he can play off the ball a little bit more. If that's the case, out of any team, the Philadelphia 76ers makes the most sense. Now, if they go to Philadelphia, I have to put up with more Kings fans and more fans in general saying, see, the Kings should tank like Philadelphia did because now look at the super team they turned into. I get that, and I'm just going to brush that aside because ultimately that doesn't matter over then. My annoyance, or other than my annoyance and my pride. But LeBron, alongside Joel Embiid and alongside Ben Simmons, who will be doing the majority of the ball handling, could be a massive fit. I think it makes the most sense for LeBron to continue to stay in the East with how stacked the West is. If he goes to the West, if he goes to the Lakers, which I don't think he'll do, and I'll give you my reasons in a second. But if he went to the Lakers, you're playing catch up for both the Los Angeles Lakers, or I'm sorry, you're playing catch up for both the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. And I don't know how smart of an idea that is versus if he stayed in the East and went with Philadelphia. Arguably, you could put them as a shoe-in for the NBA Finals, with the exception of maybe they have to fight through and battle through the Boston Celtics. So LeBron James to the Philadelphia 76ers makes a lot of sense. There are two major reasons why I don't see him going to LA. One is that would also require LA to hit another home run with other free agents. A Paul George comes to mind, and we'll get to Paul George in just a second where I think he will end up. But also LeBron James would be going to, and this doesn't sound like a big deal, but in my mind it is. LeBron would be going to an organization and playing for an organization and trying to cement his legacy with an organization. Ultimately, he's looking for titles. That's what makes the most sense. At this point in his career, he's going for titles, and that's really what separates him in the debate from LeBron and Michael Jordan. But you're playing in a Staples Center where every time you look up, you see Shaq's jersey, Magic's jersey, Kareem's jersey, and two of Kobe's jerseys, the 8 and the 24. There is so much history and legacy in L.A., that honestly, LeBron would be fourth or fifth on that list. Yes, he could be considered the greatest player of all time, but a career Laker and Kobe, Shaq speaks for itself. Kareem, Magic, they speak for themselves. LeBron comes, spends 4 years there. Even if he wins two or three titles, I don't think he ever is cemented as a Laker or part of that Laker legacy. He will always be Cleveland and Miami, in my opinion. Now, that is just my opinion, and I don't think LeBron honestly considers that and thinks about that. I don't think he will be heading to the Los Angeles Lakers, but hell, I could be wrong. I mentioned Paul George. If Paul George ended up with the Lakers in LA, then I think LeBron would seriously consider going to the Lakers, but I don't think that's going to happen. Sam Amick came on KHDK on the lowdown a couple of days ago, and he said, kind of as an offhanded comment, that he and everybody seems to be pretty confident with the idea that Paul George will be staying in Oklahoma City alongside Russell Westbrook, which would be a little bit of a surprise, but it also makes a lot of sense. I think Russell Westbrook and Paul George can work well off of each other. OKC is not super far off from contending. We know that three didn't work together all that well last year in George, Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony, who just opted in for a ridiculous amount of money. Of course, he did, picking up that player option, but they can give that another run and try and add to it there in OKC, so I think Paul George is going to be staying there. DeMarcus Cousins, a name that makes Kings fans cheer and cringe at the same time. We've heard Dallas as a potential great landing destination for him. However, after the move made yesterday, sending Gortat to the Los Angeles Clippers for Austin Rivers, your best guy, your best friend in John Wall from your Kentucky days is in Washington. I think the Washington Wizards make a lot of sense for a potential landing destination for DeMarcus. To me, if I were to list the top three landing destinations for DeMarcus, it's Washington number one, staying in New Orleans number two, and then it is the Dallas Mavericks at number three. But if I'm DeMarcus and if I'm the Wizards, I'm trying to work together to figure out a way to get the big man there alongside his best buddy John Wall in the nation's capital. How about Kevin Durant? This one's easy. He's staying with the Golden State Warriors. He said it a million times and he'd be a fool to leave. Chris Paul, staying with the Houston Rockets. It worked out. You were just an injury away from beating the Golden State Warriors and making it to the NBA Finals. With how close you were, I think Chris Paul and the Rockets would be foolish to part ways. Isaiah Thomas, this name is interesting. Talk about a fall from grace, and not in a really that bad of a way. Isaiah Thomas just missed out on a lot of money because of his injury issues. He had that great year MVP caliber season with Boston. Then he bounced around the league after the Kyrie trade, went to Cleveland. Things didn't work out there. Ended up in LA, which was, I guess, cool for him to get to play for his favorite team. I don't expect him to stay there. It would make zero sense for the Los Angeles Lakers to try and sign him. To me, Isaiah Thomas needs a one-year contract to go somewhere where he can be one of the guys and he can show that he deserves a longer-term contract. For that, there's two teams that make a whole hell of a lot of sense for me. The first one is Orlando. Isaiah Thomas could go to Orlando, become their leading scorer right now, and have a place to just showcase in a weaker Eastern Conference still what he can do and help himself maybe get paid in the near future, show that the injury has not showed him down or slowed him down, and he still is one of the best scorers in the NBA. The other option, if he wants a chance to win initially, I like the LA Clippers. Him staying in LA and going with the Clippers, him alongside Lou Williams there, that backcourt can put up a lot of points, can throw lobs and work alongside the big man DeAndre Jordan, assuming the Clippers hang on to him. I like the Los Angeles Clippers as a landing destination. They're probably my number one because I know how competitive Isaiah is and how much he wants to win. And then if he wants a place to just showcase his talents and score a boatload of points, the Orlando Magic make a whole lot of sense. Finally, my last name on this list, Clint Capela, the big man who I know is the sexy name for the Kings to try and throw max money at. Obviously, they're probably not going to be doing that now that they've taken Marvin Bagley, and I think Clint Capela would be foolish for leaving Houston. They had such a good unit there. Again, they were so close to beating the Warriors. If Houston keeps that core together and maybe even adds on to it a little bit, I think that they can defeat the Golden State Warriors, dethrone them, and make it to the NBA Finals. So that's my list. Those are my landing destinations. Send me yours at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email them to me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. We'll see how off base I am or how accurate I am with all of these. We will revisit all of these for sure at the end of NBA free agency. That does it for me today. I have a great guest coming up for you on Friday's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, so stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for listening here today. Have a good Wednesday and Thursday, and we will see you next week for the California Classic. So excited to have that inside the Golden One Center. But for now, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.